welcome to Check It Out Comrade, an indie game podcast where every 2 weeks we bring you two indie games and tell you what we like about them. I'm Nick Lauber.
And I'm Gary Butterfield.
And this week we're doing Reigns and Slayer Shock.
Yeah, let's talk about Reigns. So Reigns is a relatively new game, August 11th, 2016. This is put out by a developer called Nereal, and this is available on Steam and also on mobile. And plays pretty fantastically on mobile.
Yeah, it's definitely mobile designed.
Yep, I think it's probably the ideal way to play it. What is cool about Reigns, Nick?
So the main kind of idea is an adventure game in the Tinder style, where you just swipe left or swipe right. You have two choices for most of the prompts that come up. The main gameplay is that you are a king of a empire, and you have various council members and events that happen, and all you do is swipe left or right to make a decision on those. You have 4 meters at the top representing the church, the people, the army, and the coin, you know, the money, the wealth.
Mm-hmm.
And you're trying to balance those, because if either of them get all the way down or all the way up, you die. And mm-hmm. you are succeeded by the next king.
Yes, who's usually your offspring.
Yes.
And and that's the game. There is a lot more to it. You end up having little kind of micro goals that take mm-hmm. the same kind of cadence as achievements.
Yep.
You know, and these are kind of just kind of to nudge you in different directions of things you can try. For the most part, they are these high level kind of decisions. Their advisor is coming to you and saying, should we do this?
Mm-hmm.
And the kind of mechanics of this game, like the interesting thing is, and this could be entirely a function. You can tell me if this is true.
Okay.
I think it's interesting if it is a function of me being colorblind or not. Is it true that you only know how much of an impact it's going to have? You don't know which direction?
That is correct.
Okay. Because you have to kind of pick it up through context clues.
Correct. Yeah.
So it could be something like, hey, there's a plague out in the village. Do you send aid, which will impact the population a little bit and your money a lot? Or will you bar the gates, which will impact the population a lot? And you just have to pick up through context clues that will make the population go way down.
Right.
And the other one will cost a lot of money, but make the population go up a little bit.
Yeah. And sometimes it's purposely vague about what the context is and what's actually going to be happening.
Yes. Oftentimes.
Oftentimes.
Yeah, that is the case. And it is, it's pretty cool. Like, this is pretty great. This is really close to my platonic ideal of a mobile game, I think.
Yeah.
Because it's so easy to play and so quick and funny and good.
Yeah, absolutely. The writing's really good and fun. It's pick up and play, like, at any point. You can just drop it and pick it back up at any other point. And the second you die, you just start over again with your stats all reset to middle, and mm-hmm. You're on a new king. But otherwise, it mostly just continues what you have. You have kind of 4 little slots at the bottom of your screen that represent kind of things that'll persist mm-hmm. for some time. Not forever, but they'll persist beyond this current reign. And that's things mm-hmm. such as like hospitals and stuff that'll protect you if you're, I think food gets too low, or the people get, population gets too low or something. They're all mm-hmm. kind of safety guards or lockouts. So sometimes you can get something that just locks out an entire stat. It cannot be affected positive or negative, or it's constantly raising a little bit all the time. Mm-hmm. And you have to kind of balance all these different factors into trying to stay alive as much as you can.
Yeah. And it is those individual kind of factors. There are other things too that can be persistent. You can have curses, things like that, that affect your actual interface.
Mm-hmm.
You know, things like, there's one where you had to play through the entire generation. You had to survive 16 years or something like that.
Right.
As an old man. Mm-hmm. To start out old, you can't understand people and their language, the words are all kind of scrambled, and you have to kind of sound them out phonetically and just kind of make some guesses.
You also get some things like pick up mushrooms, which will turn everybody into animals for a period.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And also there are positive buffs too. There are ones that allow you to see whether something is negative or positive.
Yeah.
And exactly how much. It's really interesting. When I first realized that something getting too high was a problem too, was like a real moment for me, because I had no idea. I was just like, oh, I just want to keep everything good, because why wouldn't I want to make everyone happy?
Right.
And that's not the case.
Yeah.
Like, you don't want to keep everyone happy in this. You want to keep everybody kind of middling.
Well, and it makes sense the way that the death works and stuff too. It's, if the money gets too high, then all the rich nobles will take over. Mm-hmm. If the population gets too high, then they'll do a revolt. If the army does too high, they'll do a coup. If the religion takes too much, then the religion supersedes the government. So it's really cool that you're trying to balance everything, and it's quite a task. Like, most of the time you're gonna die pretty quickly.
Yeah, so it has a little bit of that roguelike feel, just as far as permanent death. Like, you're making runs and you're using the knowledge that you have. You know, you go through one, at some point you realize you know what the mushroom does.
Right.
You know, you also, it's built as kind of a deck, you know, like you're flipping through these cards in a Tinder fashion. Meeting certain advisors unlocks extra possibilities.
Yes.
So you meet like a witch, or you meet a priest, or certain, you know, these different kinds of people, and it will unlock that card. It'll say like blank deck added.
Right. And those are usually results of the little achievements that you mentioned before.
Mm-hmm. The kind of the two little interesting things about this that we kind of didn't cover. One is that for where I'm at with how many runs I've done of it, I haven't found like an end game to it.
Mm-hmm.
I know you said you did, which is kind of interesting. I didn't know that was going to be a thing.
Yeah.
Two, though, real quick before we go into that, I want to talk about the humor a little bit.
Sure.
And how much of it boils down to just yes, no responses to things that shouldn't have yes, no responses.
Right.
It is very funny. The way your character is kind of characterized in this is very funny.
Mm-hmm.
You know, do you want to do, and it'll be this very profound question, you know, that has no, is not a yes or no question, you know, and just like, what is the purpose of people or something like that? And yes, no.
Yes. Right.
No. You know, and whenever you die, you just go between what and what. Like they sometimes will do things where the both options are the same,
mm-hmm.
which is very fun. There's this running kind of joke with your court jester who kind of fucks everything up.
Yeah.
Guybrush Loosetongue, who is the worst and does all kinds of shitty things to kind of fuck you over.
Yeah.
And the response to that is just like, Guybrush! It's very, it kind of paints this picture of this monarch who's like literally just sitting back and just, again, like Tinder swiping.
Yep. Just making decisions.
Yeah, it's real good. There's a couple little dungeony parts too, and there's actually a combat engine in this, which is kind of weird.
Yeah,
it reminds me of different kind of game books, the way they do combat, where it's really about deciding if you want to go all out offense or all out defense and kind of second guess your opponent. But you get different moves mm-hmm. for this too. I had a very funny situation where there was a queen. Where I took a queen from a neighboring village and stuff, and she ended up turning out to fight me, and I learned the move surprise proposal.
Yeah, where you can get down on one knee.
Yeah, to like propose to them and then kill them. So that being a fighting move you can do.
Yeah.
And stuff. It's very funny.
The humor is very nice. And the art's really cute.
Mm-hmm.
It's all just kind of solid colors that
very basic, but like very, you know, very attractive.
Yeah. Super attractive.
Unequivocal recommendation. I think it was like $3 or something on iOS, and that's how much it is on Steam, and like I've gotten tons of fun out of it, and it is such a good pick up and just kind of put down game.
Absolutely. Yeah. There is kind of an end game to this. I think it might be like 1,000 years is the absolute ending, maybe.
Mm.
Something to that extent. And there's I think 3 distinct endings you can get. And I ended up kind of researching what the best one would be when I started getting near the end, because I the game's so light and breezy that I didn't want to figure out how the dungeon worked.
Mm.
Like that felt like figuring out kind of which paths led to what was a little bit too much of an investment. I feel like I have to write something down. I don't feel like writing something down. There's kind of a route through the dungeon to meet a specific character. Have you had the devil come?
Yes.
With the
I've talked to, like, there's a lot of weird like evocative kind of things. Like I talked to a bunch of frozen blood.
Yeah. Okay.
Things like that, which I was like, was the devil.
I think that's I think that's part of the lead up into it. When you meet the devil, so this probably happened to you once. I think it can happen to you a couple more times. When the devil comes around, the first person you say yes to next after he introduces himself will die. And he tells you this.
Yes. I remember that.
So there's a way to trick the devil. And by doing so requires you to get through the dungeon in a specific way and meet a specific character.
Okay.
And then that character kind of allows you to have sort of a tricky out for that devil situation.
Okay. Gotcha.
And that's the good ending. get using that character to trick the devil that gets you the good ending, as far as I understand it. And I think there's kind of a neutral and a bad ending as well, but I haven't bothered to restart the game to try and get either of those or really look into what they are.
Okay. That's interesting. I the dungeons are pretty puzzly, and I had the same effect, or same kind of reaction you did, where it's all these alchemical symbols and I didn't want to look them up or do anything like that.
Yeah. So it's kind of all just pattern based. Like if you get this symbol and then that symbol, you'll end up in this place where you'll hit that symbol. And so it's kind of just leading a chain of which symbols you should go down. And mm-hmm. I believe the hint towards getting to the character that you're trying to reach is actually on the timeline.
Mm.
If you scroll back through the timeline, you'll see there's kind of alchemical symbols all the way through. And that's kind of the order you're trying to go in order to, and it doesn't quite match up. Like something's a little weird about it, but in any case, like that's sort of your hint to reach the guy.
Mm. Interesting. Yeah. I'll probably stumble across it at some point or get to the point where I either want to do that research to find the thing or just be kind of done with the game.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. At some point. But if I keep playing it, there's a good chance that I'll kind of come across that naturally.
Right.
I feel like,
and I'm totally up for like I've got all I got out of this game. There's no reason for me to play it anymore, but I'd be up for another one, like completely
from the same people.
Yeah, completely different cards, but a game in the same style. Like I would like to see this be a simple, breezy mobile game trend that they start. It's good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like these guys. These are people to watch. I don't think they've done anything else. These guys might be like new to the scene.
Yeah.
Which is pretty cool if I'm right about that.
What? Let's see. They have a game on Steam called Devouring Stars.
Okay.
Looks kind of a ambient spacey RTS.
Okay.
Yeah. Looks interesting, but
yeah, but kind of mostly, you know, mostly positive. I'd never heard of it before that. And it's from last
very
year.
Very low reviewed. It's only got 31 reviews. So,
yeah. So even this, like it's kind of, just looking at this, has a 77 on Metacritic, which is kind of surprising to me. This is not better thought
on
of.
Rains?
Like I know a lot of it's
interesting.
Yeah. I know a lot of people have recommended it pretty highly.
Yeah.
In general, like it's a pretty popular game. I think it's mostly people reviewing the Steam version and being irked about it being optimized for mobile.
Right.
You know, which is fine. You know, I guess, but it's just it's not the best platform for a guy.
Right.
Let's move on.
Yeah, absolutely. So the other game we played is Slayer Shock. So Slayer Shock is the newest game from the developer that did Eldric and
Neon Struct.
Yeah, Neon Struct. I could only think of DR, the Devolver, or whatever, the German subtitle.
Yeah, Diak and I.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is like this guy was so this developer is somebody who I like. It's ex BioShock 2 people. So close to, you know, getting the super giant memorial, every game is a win award,
right.
kind of thing. But I don't like Slayer Shock very much.
Yeah, I don't like Slayer Shock very much either.
Which, like, we like Eldric.
Mm-hmm.
I loved Neon Struct. Like, I ended up really liking that game, played through it to the end, and, like, it was kind of perfect. Like, this 4-hour stealth thing, as an aesthetic exercise, really liked it. This is a little bit bewildering, and you can see what they are going for. I feel like in this is a semi kind of like roguey procedural Buffy the Vampire Slayer RPG.
Yeah.
So, you know, starts off very strong, like you introducing the mechanics, like you go through, you have like a short range melee weapon, you're fighting vampires. Usually you want to sneak up on them and kill them.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lock picking mechanic that is, you know, kind of interesting and fun. And you are introduced to this kind of system where you have a map, you know, different areas of town. As you go through, patrol on them, you can get items that you can use to upgrade your avatar or
skills
and skill, or, you know, get vampire dust to buy skills or to buy research to do the emboss to finish the season.
Right.
It's set up in seasons like Buffy. And you can kind of keep the panic level or like the infestation level or what have you of these areas down as well.
Right.
They get more dangerous the more you neglect them.
Exactly. Yeah. So as you do one area, other areas get buffed up. So you want to keep your kind of keep spreading around everything to keep all the populations low.
Yeah, it is. So that's kind of cool. And the actual, like, the things you can get RPG wise, like these different weapons and the skills you get, you know, you get the slide, like the minor key game slide,
yep.
You know, which has always been a thing from this company. You get some kind of cool stuff,
mm-hmm.
you know, so the actual player empowerment loop, I think, is pretty good.
Right.
The place where it falls down, though, for me, is in level design things.
Yeah.
There are these different biomes. They're kind of randomized here, but they are like, there's no reason to do anything other than just make a beeline for whatever the goal is.
Yeah.
And that bums me out. Like, the most common goal that I had in my time with this was patrol, which is, you know, walk to an endpoint and walk back. And there was nothing to stop me from just sprinting and doing it, because there would be houses and points of interest on the way that were not worth exploring.
Yeah, they just have, like, chests with dust in them at best.
At absolute best. And usually nothing.
Right.
There are stealth missions that come later where you get bonuses for not being seen.
Mm-hmm.
Those are really frustrating, where they will put the things you need to actually tag, the artifacts you have to pick up in houses, but then they will put... there are like coffins that vampires can pop out of,
mm-hmm.
That they, if you go close enough to them, or they'll put them in the way where you have to pass them,
yeah,
to get to the things. So you can't do the optional objective in that level. Things like that, where just kind of the procedural generation of the levels ends up making them really boring to go through.
Yeah.
Like the actual player empowerment is good, but the gameplay loop itself is not.
100%. I thought. Agree. Yeah. That's exactly where I'm at with it too. I don't like the random spawning.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
That's a very, yeah, yeah, very yeah,
that
mechanic.
Sucks. Like, you close, because you can't, like, in a stealth game, I want to clear out the level and then explore it.
Exactly.
You can never do that in this, because things just pop in.
Yes.
And it's, that's very obviously an intentional thing to kind of keep you feeling in danger. But it ended up being a really huge bummer. Like, I didn't like, getting to the end of something, having it cleared out, and then just coming back and having randos. And it will happen, is like almost as soon as you turn your back.
Yeah. It's very fast. Like,
I was in the high school and went through this like lecture room down to the basement, went into the next room and was trying to sneak up on a guy and then just got hit in the back.
Yeah.
And there's a whole like closing doors behind you, locking doors kind of thing. But I killed the guy in there.
Right.
You know, like they're like, where'd that guy come from? And it wasn't like a little guy either. It was a big guy.
Yeah.
You know, it was one of the Hulk things.
Yeah. I think the randomized systems are just too big of a detriment to the gameplay loop itself. Mm-hmm. The randomized levels make everything seem dull and uninteresting. The random creature spawns just make it so you don't feel like you're making any progress through the level.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the biggest problem I feel is that it's such a downgrade in stealth mechanics from Neon Struct, and yet it still tries to emphasize them.
Yeah.
It rewards you for doing the optional stealth in some of the missions, and you have some abilities and stuff that like do more damage when you're sneaking up on a monster and stuff, and the systems just don't play into that. It looks and feels like Neon Struct. It feels like you should have the same abilities to stealth around, and the other mechanics are just conflicting with that entirely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you eventually, the stealth emphasis, you know, it, as far as I know, is optional the whole way, because your avatar gets much more empowered. Like, it is not a stealth game, you know, it's a combat game.
Right, but I feel like any emphasis they put in towards stealth falls apart immediately.
100%, and the combat stuff is not particularly fun. Like, the enemies are pretty garbagey as far as AI goes.
Yeah.
And as far as enemy variety goes as well, at least in the early game, there are kind of a couple interesting things, but not so much so that the combat is ever going to be like, if I have a machine gun, mm-hmm. you know, and like, it's never, which I saw you get like an Uzi later
right.
in the game. It's never going to be interesting to mow these guys down with an Uzi. They're just going to run at you. It's going to be kind of like Serious Sam, and you're never going to clear them out. You're going to walk through after you do that and then come back, and there's just going to be more.
There's no impact or crunch to the battle. Like fighting, swinging a sword at someone makes them react, not at all. Shooting them with something makes them react, not at all. There's no impact. Yeah. There's no feel to it.
Well, they'll when they shoot, like they will kind of hunch over for a second. Like you can stunlock guys. It's the big guys. You can use the katana to kind of circle strafe them and keep them stunned to death. It just doesn't feel, the weapons don't feel very good to use,
mm-hmm.
and the enemies don't have enough of like a verb set to use against you. It's also, this is the first game they've done in the series where I think the kind of limited graphical style works against it.
Yeah.
Because it's so simple. Everything is so simple, which is not a problem. It's also so empty. So like in right. Eldritch, that was kind of intentional. Like there was a whole element of that that kind of felt like an interesting take on Lovecraft stuff, which is usually so busy
right.
and kind of dark. So Kevin kind of making its elemental levels. And the Neon Struct was an aesthetic, like this kind of simulation computer aesthetic.
Right.
You know, that kind of came through. This would have done better to look a little bit better, to actually be a little bit creepy, because any times that this was actually kind of scary, it was because something spawned behind me in a way that felt unfair. Right. It wasn't because of the atmosphere or anything to the game.
Yeah.
And I gotta say for a minute, like, boy, a big part of that is the music, which is mind boggling.
It's like, so garbage. The music in Neon Struct was so good.
The Sublime like soundtrack to that, and the Eldritch soundtrack, which is good.
Right.
This is so confusing. It's like a guy with an acoustic guitar and a bass kind of doing it himself in a bedroom.
Yeah.
And the main theme that like, dunk, 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 it does the like the country jamboree, like C G C G
right.
and a bass thing that is really, really mind boggling. Like, what are you, I literally like, what are you doing, Slayer Shock?
Yeah.
You know, and it just, I guess I was like, I've read a bunch of reviews cause I stopped playing this. I didn't like it.
Right.
I read reviews and stuff, and they were saying that like your characters that you have in your hub can like kind of form relationships and stuff,
mm-hmm.
but there's no mechanical impact to that. Like they just kind of do it and then stop. You know, then they break up and they're not sitting next to each other anymore.
Oh, weird.
You know, and that's disappointing too. Like there's such a seed of something that's really cool here, which is, you know, making these little traversals into a dangerous area. Coming back with resources that make you a little bit stronger to go a little bit deeper and go a little bit longer into a dangerous right. area. The Buffy thing is really cool. Like this idea of a single, like this town that's kind of overtaken by vampires.
Right.
You know, that's appealing to me. The powers that you get are cool. Like there's so much of it that is kind of cool, but the core gameplay is not there. It's just not fun to do any of the stuff.
The elevator pitch for this would have sold me, but
yeah.
the execution is not right.
And it sucks because I'm in favor of these guys.
Absolutely.
You know, like I liked Eldritch a lot. I love Neon Struct. Like you know, this guy, as far as people to come out of the kind of BioShock 2 thing, that's been a really fertile ground for, you know, for games.
Yeah.
Like a lot of great games have come out of those people. And the guy who made this, like, I like this guy.
Right. You
know, I'm in favor of him as a dude.
Absolutely.
I just don't think this is very fun to play. And almost in a way it could be like, it could almost be fixed. The seed is there. I feel like if this was successful enough to get a Neon Struct 2 or a Slayer Shock 2,
mm-hmm.
It could be good.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Unfortunately, I don't really see that happening. It doesn't seem to be doing too well on Steam. Like the reviews are mostly positive, but the amount of reviews is very low for yeah. how long this has been out so far. And,
yeah, I don't know. I don't know what it's sold.
It's not getting a lot of publicity, it seems.
Yeah, it's the sim aspects of it are just not kind of strong enough. It's also the, you know, when the shock suffix is a gaming thing that has some weight, right? Like, you know, a BioShock or a System Shock or something right. like that. Like, and that to me always makes me think of kind of vent crawlers. You know, like I'm going to have this place. I'm going to have different ways to approach it,
mm-hmm.
And stuff. And the way to do that in this would have been more interesting enemies that had static placements that you know, didn't respawn.
Right.
That weren't about that.
Patrol routes that you patrol can watch routes, for. Yeah.
Yeah. Patrol routes are different behavior you had to work around. So you had this toolbox and kind of this world that you could approach from any angle, and have that kind of do its thing. And it's one of those things where like roguelike and procedural generation elements are so like singular that they don't work in every type of game. Like
yeah,
you can't,
absolutely.
Yeah, you can't add like random stuff to every game to just make it endlessly replayable. And that just kind of does it, you know, like the rest of the game has to be designed around it in an interesting way. And this is not, you know, so it's not, again, it's not a garbage fire. Like I didn't hate it.
Yeah.
It's not Dragon, a game about a dragon, but it's was like a C level thing.
Right.
And from a company that I'm expecting B plus and A minus
exactly.
work from.
Yeah. Our expectations kind of helped yeah. diminish our idea of this.
Like I fast tracked this on when I found out this was coming, it was all yeah. over my Twitter and I'm like, we got to do this. Like
right.
I love this guy's games. It feels like it hasn't been very long since, you know, it hasn't been long since we talked about Neon Struct, even though that game has been out for a while.
Right.
But I had reason to expect this was going to be great from the elevator pitch. So
totally with you. And yeah. the name's garbage too, by the way.
Yeah.
That's a really bad name that bounces off everything. So,
yeah.
All right.
Bummer. But the thank you guys for listening. By the time this comes out, there'll be 2 weeks from today. There will still, or 2 weeks from the from this last weekend.
Yeah, 2 weeks from PGRE.
Yeah. So it will. Well, this will come out 1 week after PRGE. Because right. last weekend. So the there's still plenty of time for Duckstream. Yes. As we've mentioned, Duckstream, if you donate a certain amount, you'll be able to dictate a game that we do for the show.
Yeah.
So please you know, please hit that up and dig deep, because it is a good charity and worth your time. If you want to help out the show, you can also rate and review the show on Patreon, or rate the review the show on iTunes, or support us on Patreon at patreon.com/duckfeedtv.
Yep. We're also going to be doing some live comrading on Duckstream, so make sure you tune in for that.
Yes.
And
we can say what that is too. That's a Journey.
Yep.
Because Nick's never played it, he's going to play it on stream, and then Gang Beasts.
Yep.
Yep.
And we'll probably play some other games on there too. Mm-hmm. That'll fit the description. But we're going to do a comrade style breakdown afterwards. So, mm-hmm. Yeah. And if you have anything to recommend or want to communicate with us, we're on Twitter at Comrade Podcast, or on Facebook.com/checkitoutcomrade. And of course, there's always the contact form at duckfeed.tv/contact.
Absolutely. Yeah. So no spoiler section at this point. There may be an ending to Slayer Shock, but we didn't get there.
Right.
But thank you guys very much for listening, and good night.
See you next time.